Hello, Kyle. From Time to Revive, our evangelism partner and one of my dear friends, Kyle and Laura have been in our life for a long time. And I'm so excited of how you intersect in the book, Kyle. I want to get into all that.
I'm more excited that I'm a part of a book club. Like, my mom would be so proud of me, you know? So I just want you to know I'm serious. Like, I believe in this book, and I'm telling you guys what God is doing through Bunny and her writings. It's real. And so, really, it is an honor to be here.
Well, it's an honor to hang out with you, brother. And we're going to talk about how politics, this is just one way to get the gospel into our communities, right? Mm-hmm. That's what we really want to drill down tonight. And then I have Susan Wright here, who's our advancement officer for Christians Engaged. But in chapter six. Your beautiful husband, Ron Wright, and you show up in the story. And so I'm excited that you're here with us tonight, Susan.
Well, thanks. This is fun. It's exciting to be part of a book club, like Kyle said.
Amen.
Yes.
We're all you know, part of a big group now. So,
So we're going to jump all over the book tonight. And then from Japan, we have James and Kobe Cardenas. You're going to meet James and Kobe in a few minutes. But they were the young people that I got to lead to Jesus on a campaign with Congressman Michael Cloud. And they are serving in Japan right now. So I think it's like 8 or 8:30 in the morning in Japan right now. James is in the military, in the Navy, and they're over there serving their country. So I can't wait for you to meet James and Kobe. But if you haven't picked up the book, chapter one and chapter two, we talked about last week, you met my husband and met some Congressman Jeb Hensarling and a couple other people from those chapters. So chapter three is a very important chapter. What is it, Kyle?
I don't know the title of it. You're holding the book right there.
Chapter three is about politics is not inherently evil. And a lot of this chapter is about my crazy story of going to Bible school and my dad and all this stuff. And then we get into...
Wait, and I love that title, just so you know, of that chapter. Because if you tell somebody, I'm going to be a part of a book club that's talking about politics, I mean, you get it every day, but it's that look.
Yeah.
What?
What?
What are you doing?
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, we're going to talk about Jesus. Oh, okay. So I love that title, Bunny.
So politics is not inherently evil. Politics is who gets what, when, and how.
Amen.
And why should we not be advocating for what we believe? Why are the wicked people the only ones that can get to know their elected officials? Why are they the only ones that can run for office? And I want to share a testimony with you guys. Some of you guys were at our conference last year, but a young woman, Alyssa Brown, went to Washington, D.C. with us last summer. She was on a scholarship. We gave 6 scholarships away to young people. And this was not an inexpensive trip, like $1,500 trip to Washington, D.C. And we're taking 20 young people this summer, which I'm so excited about. But Alyssa was on this trip, and I had her fill in at the conference. You remember, Susan?
I do.
Cameron Green was supposed to speak, Rick and Kara Green's daughter, and she got sick. And so at the last minute, literally 24 hours before the conference, Alyssa, I said, you're up, girl. Go up there and preach the gospel. And she got up there, and I was bawling the whole time she was talking.
She was awesome.
She was awesome. And 2 weeks after the conference, I think I'm getting this right, she calls me and says, so I interviewed this guy that's running for state representative in my area, and he doesn't have a biblical worldview. And I think I need to run for state rep in Arkansas. And we were like, what? And I was, and I have to be honest, and Alyssa knows this, I felt like this dagger in my heart. Like, we're supposed to run together. Like, why are you doing this?
You're running with me. Hello.
You're running with me. You're not running for state rep. Well, the beauty of this, guys, is she worked so hard. In 4 months, she knocked 3,000 doors.
Wow.
She raised, I think, over $50,000 or $60,000. She got 10 mail pieces out. She got the NRA's endorsement. She got Mike Huckabee's endorsement, which is really like a wink from Governor Huckabee Sanders. And she won in a landslide last night, the youngest person ever elected to Arkansas State Legislature.
How old?
26 years old.
That's unbelievable.
It is unbelievable.
26 years old. So what does politics have to do with the gospel? This is what we're going to talk about tonight. Kyle, you've walked with me a long time. In 2017, we had this crazy move of God called Revive Texas, where you were galvanizing churches to get together, 300 churches, and we were going out and sharing the gospel. And I was leading a consulting firm at that time, running members of Congress, running state senators, county officials. And I got swept into this thing, and I forgot to wear my wristband. I'm like totally a failure tonight. But we had these wristbands and Bibles, and we were out sharing the gospel, and I got to lead, guys, 20 people to Jesus in 50 days.
Amen.
And I got hooked. I got hooked. And all of a sudden, I'm like leading outreaches and leading a consulting firm. That doesn't make any sense. Like, what am I doing? I'm leading a GOP consulting firm.
And you're out on the streets sharing the gospel.
And I'm out on the streets on the weekend sharing the gospel. Like, right. I have time for that. And then 6 months into that, I am running for Congress.
Yeah.
Like, and I think I remember calling you saying something like, well, sharing the gospel every weekend should have prepared me to talk to strangers nonstop. I don't know how this goes together, but somehow sharing the gospel and running for Congress have something to do with each other. I don't know. But you've seen these worlds collide, Kyle, even in your work. You worked with the Jerusalem Prayer Breakfast for years, really actively getting involved on the Israel issue. But how do you see the two things colliding? How do they collide?
I mean, I think they're naturally integrated. And over the course of decades, unfortunately in America, we automatically divide them. We automatically separate them. And the reality is that if we want to make decisions based in the United States, it's got to be based on biblical truth, which obviously I know is what the point of Christians Engage is. That's mm-hmm. what we want. But the reality is that the gospel must penetrate into the political realm, because those decisions they have to be filtered through the lens of, I'm just going to say, the blood of Christ. And that sounds real like Christianese, but really what I'm saying is that because of what Christ has done, that revolutionary truth has to be integrated in decisions on healthcare. It needs to be decisions made in education. It needs to be decisions made in the government sector. And so I have a crazy story coming up in a couple of weeks. I actually have a mayor of a city, a large, large city in Nigeria. Okay? This is kind of a new one for me. He's flying in. He's going to meet at the United Nations. And
wow.
then from the United Nations, he's going to then fly to Dallas. And the whole purpose of him meeting, it's the most mind-blowing thing, is he want to integrate the Bible and the folks in the government so that they make decisions based on the Word of God. And
wow.
then from that, he wants to, Lord willing, integrate that into the city. So to me, you can't make decisions and then separate this.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's basic. Is that the gospel changed my life? Which means it's going to impact every decision that I make. And that's why I love what you're doing with your ministry. I love what God is doing through Christians Engaged. I mean, Alyssa Brown, when I hear her knocking on 3,000 doors, honestly, you know what it is? Scripture says you either go house to house, right? You go to the marketplace mm-hmm. or you go open air. And so they just all go together.
Well, and she told me today on the phone, Kyle, that she's had the opportunity to pray and minister to 20 people at the doors. Like, she got to share the gospel or yeah. pray over them and minister yeah. to them simply by going out there and saying, I'm willing, Jesus, to go run for state rep.
And I have to say this, and you know this, and I know this, but we just need to say it. The gospel is not a political party.
Right.
It's not one way. It's not an elephant or a donkey. It is a cross
yes.
that has radically changed my life. And our prayer is that the United States would embrace the gospel.
Yeah.
And then that must penetrate our political sector, because that's what impacts our everyday decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my dad thought politics was inherently evil, that I was losing the call of God on my life yeah. by going into politics. But he soon discovered that he was wrong. But thank God he discovered he was wrong. But what convinced him was when I started telling him stories, Kyle, of these moments with members of Congress where I was getting to share the word of God with them, or I was getting to pray for them, or whatever. And we saw things happen. Right. And I think one of the greatest moments that I wanted to share with you guys in the book is here we are doing politics. We're going knocking on doors. We're going block walking. And I share the story about Congressman Michael Clouds' campaign, and I had this great assistant you're going to meet in a minute, James, and his beautiful girlfriend, Kobe. They're now married. But James was out there doing yard signs for me, and we were block walking in San Antonio for Congressman Chip Roy in a very competitive race, and we had brought all these volunteers together. And I told the congressman, I said, hey, we can't really block walk and knock on doors on Sunday morning. That wouldn't be really cool. So what if we just had like a little service together, and we just bring all our volunteers together and we share whatever, we, you know, worship together, yeah, share with each other. And we're talking Protestants, Catholics, all of us together. Some people, you know,
didn't even believe it.
We don't even know. We don't even know if what they believe. Right. And I shared the simple gospel from this wristband. So before I have Kobe and James come on, I want you to walk people through what I shared with that wristband and how simple it is for people to share the gospel. Because when I shared this, and I'll have Kobe and James will share the rest of their story, but it's not hard. And the simple gospel brings people life.
Amen. You know, I actually did this today. A guy came to work on our air conditioner unit at our office. And, you know, you engage people by, I'm just preface this by just showing them love first and foremost.
Yeah.
And in that, you're listening to them, you're discerning from the Holy Spirit. And in that process, you will decide, how am I going to respond? With the gospel, not with the gospel. Mm-hmm. And in the case of using the wristband, and by the way, D.L. Moody, I mean, he was the original wordless book. He came up with the you know, this system. So this isn't anything we came up with. But I'll just say, it walks you through Romans 3:23, which just identifies that everybody sins. It doesn't matter if you live in Japan, the United States, if you're Russian, if you're illegal or you're legal. It doesn't matter. We all sin. And I think we need to come to those terms. That's the reality. But sin then, and let me just put it this way, and people that vote and politicians.
Yeah.
I'm saying that because we're all on the same playing field. Mm-hmm. And that sin will always lead to Romans 6:23, death. The wages of sin is death. It's what separates us from truly the Father. And so sin leads to death. But I love this, though it's his love. God actually gave up his one and only Son, Jesus Christ, on the cross, and he died while we were still sinners, while we were, we sometimes say, a hot mess, because we were. And here's the deal. This love is for everybody, but not everybody is going to choose to embrace that love.
Yeah.
But he still loves us. So you have these three colors, and then it gets to the fourth color, Ephesians 2:8-9, which is just says, look, you don't have to earn favor with God. You can't work for it. You can't go to church enough. You can't do enough religious cards. You can't read enough. The reality is you just have faith in his love. And so you have four colors: sin, death, the love of God through Christ. And when you have faith to receive this gift, it gets to the last color. And it's Romans 10:9-10. And let me just say this. You know, a lot of times people think politics, you have something, you're going to force it down them, right? Mm-hmm. You can't force the gospel down anybody. This has to be a choice that they say, this is what I want. And when you present this in a way that it is for them and the timing is right, I believe people will want this. And that last thing that they'll want is eternal life.
Yeah.
And that eternal life really means I'm surrendering everything, my thoughts, my actions, my decisions, my marriage, my parenting. And when you confess that you want Jesus to be Lord and you come to terms that Jesus died, was buried, and came back to life, this is the simple message, and we don't have to add to it. And so it goes from sin and death and love. And what I love is that you shared this with the people that you're out walking with. You know, you're out sharing this, knocking on doors. And when you have faith in his love, that's when you get eternal life.
Yes. Amen. And so I want to introduce you guys to James and Kobe Cardenas, all the way from the great nation of Japan. Hey, guys, how's it going? Unmute.
Hi.
Hi.
Can you hear us?
Yes. Yes.
Hi.
Look at these beautiful people.
Bunny, are you going to say something in Japanese to
no,
them?
No, I don't know anything in Japanese.
Konnichiwa.
Konnichiwa. There you go.
Thank you.
I had a Japanese exchange student at my house growing up.
Oh, well, I didn't.
I know. That's the only word I know, by the way. Just konnichiwa.
So, konnichiwa. Well, okay, guys. Well, you are a major part of chapter 3, and I want to thank you both for letting me share your story, because for me, it was one of the highlights of my political career, and I say that with tears in my eyes because I love you both so much. And so, Kobe, I want to start with you. We did this little presentation of the gospel at this block walking thing with Chip Roy, and yes, I'll never forget you coming up to me and you said, can I have one of those wristbands?
Yeah.
What? And I'll never forget you saying, I don't know if I've ever heard it like that before. What was touching your heart when you first heard that?
That was very, that's very true. It was just after our little sermon that we had that morning, it, for some reason, everything clicked. Like, we are the working parts of the body of Jesus Christ. And so I never, coming from like a really religious faith growing up, everything that I do in life, it's not for myself, but it's for the word of Jesus. And for me, after hearing you talk about it, it's just something clicked and it says, okay, I understand now. Like I mm-hmm. get the means and my purpose.
Well, and then I said, well, I'm coming back to Victoria in a couple weeks. Let's get together for dinner. And James, what was significant about that dinner night?
So I didn't know that was even going to happen. So a little bit of backstory to that, of like the first like year or so before that, I had been trying to join the Navy. And it was kind of difficult. I had a lot of medical issues around my eyes and my vision, and it was kind of up in the air if I was even going to be able to join or be qualified to do it. And that was the day that I finally heard back, and you know, I was accepted and approved. And so I had to go up to San Antonio that day, and I spent all day there doing all kinds of testing and really just trying to make this goal happen for me, this next step of my life. And
Do
you ever have a day where like everything is just falling into place?
Yeah.
And like everything is just happening the way that you prayed and you asked for and you begged, and like all the things that you wanted to come true came true. That was that day for me.
And it was your birthday too.
Oh yeah, and it was my birthday.
Yeah, it was your birthday.
So here's a random Friday night. Get this picture. I'm gonna become Kyle Martin telling stories right now, Kyle.
That's good.
It was a random Friday night. I'm just happening to go down to Victoria to work on this campaign, and I said, guys, we need to get together. We need to go through this again because I don't want you. I think God's doing something in your heart and life, but I want to go through the whole story. And we sat there and ate Japanese food, and I pretty much took you from Genesis to Revelation, I think, in like an hour. And I never will forget, I did not give you the easy gospel. I think I wrote that in the book. I gave you like, hey, if you follow Jesus, you're signing up for persecution, suffering, and everything else. Was that kind of the gist of it?
It's a lot in that moment to recall, and it's just so emotional, but it's from what I can recall, it was very much, hey, do you want to do something very hard and difficult, and
do you want to accept Jesus tonight?
Yeah. That was the big do you want to commit to a life of continuous work and effort to do something greater than yourself?
Yeah.
And be part of something greater than yourself.
Yeah. And what I loved about that moment was it was so clear that Jesus was calling you to himself, and both of you, I mean, I'll never forget. And we wandered out in the parking lot, and I said something like, hey, well, why don't you guys pray and ask the Lord into your heart? And what happened in that parking lot?
We went outside and we kind of gathered into like a little circle, and we had a prayer and we talked to God, and we ask for forgiveness, and we ask for acceptance, and we ask for
love.
Yeah. And we had a little a rebirthing into Christ. And it was an amazing experience because it was something that we were able to do just so humbly and so innocently and so pure. Yeah. With just three people that just wanted nothing more than to just be closer to God.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was awesome. And I remember calling Congressman Cloud that night and just saying, this is the best. I'm so happy you're winning re-election, but this is the best part of your campaign right here. And he said, I 100% agree. It was so, so fun.
That entire experience for me was, like that whole campaign was, it was life-changing. I was so young and so unaware of the things that were happening around me and to me and within me, that it all kind of came to a head that night, for me at least.
So can God even work in people's lives in the middle of politics?
Absolutely.
Yes.
I think if you ever like want to have a chance of getting through this kind of an industry without without going too far one way or maintaining some kind of guidance, you have to have some kind of spiritual core to something.
Gotta pray about it.
Yeah, you know, how you do one thing is how you do everything. And if you can run your life in a way according to God, then I think that's a good basis to maybe make political decisions.
Well, and you guys have come from some brokenness in your families. How has God filled in the gap for you as your, you know, parent helping you guys through life, especially starting in a new covenant together?
You want to go first?
Sure.
I'm sorry. I'm asking you questions not on the script.
Oh, you're fine.
No, you're fine. You're fine. No, I mean, it's no secret, right? Like, so I grew up, when I was growing up, my dad had a very significant substance abuse problem. And so he wasn't around the house a lot. And my mom was always just trying to like make it work. And so you can imagine like running around and trying to like stitch together a living and raise a child and making ends meet. There wasn't a ton of Sundays where it was, you know what we should do? Get up early and go to church. It's if she wasn't working that day, she finally needed rest. And that grows inside of like, that grows into a habit and that grows into a lifestyle that, you know, for a kid, you know, just creates less and less exposure to, you know, what that kind of a, what the positive side of having religion in your life can be, because you're just, you're not accessing it. No one's showing it to you consistently. And as an adult, you kind of reach this point where you're like, well, I never had that. And if you don't know what you're missing, you don't have a desire for it necessarily until someone comes and shows it to you, right? This proselytizing, this spreading of the word. And for me, being able to experience that and take it and seeing what I've been missing my whole life and being able to take that into me and was life-changing. And it's infected me ever since. And I can't imagine a life that I live on earth without Christ in it.
Yeah.
And tell him what you're doing in the military, what you're main focus is outside of combat.
So I am it's a very niche job. I'm a religious program specialist in the U.S. Navy. So I work with chaplains to really do everything, but whether that's going on deployment, and the worst side of it is like if someone were to like pass away or things like that, there's last rites and certain religious aspects that, you know, people of all different faiths need. And so to be able to help facilitate that for people is amazing, but the bulk of it is taking care of people and connecting people with the right, you know, religious or spiritual needs that they may have, or mental health needs, or, you know, anything to really try to take care of a person. And it's an honor, and I wouldn't trade it for the world.
And I loved even that night. I mean, even before we were praying in the parking lot, like, I feel called to the chaplaincy. He was like, I mean, it was like crazy, Kyle. James and Kobe both just have such a strong call of God on their life. It is undeniable. And I just want to say, guys, how proud I am of you. And I want to encourage people, you know, just when you get to see somebody come to faith, that's not the end of your journey. Being a part of your wedding, being a part of your life, that's what discipleship is being a part of your life ongoing. And I can't wait. One day we're going to get to, me and Tim are going to get to Japan, folks.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. You got so much room here. We would love that. And we miss y'all both.
Well, miss you guys too. And just so proud of you. And you guys can hop off whenever you want. But Kyle, I want to make the point here that we're all connected. The story is all connected. So if you hadn't had Revive Texas, and you weren't getting us to go share the gospel, I wouldn't have had enough courage to stand up at a block walking service. What in the world was that? Yeah. And share the wristband to a group of people that I figured probably most of them were people of faith.
Yeah.
But I had another older lady that came up to me and was just like, I have never heard that before. Mm. I've never heard that before. Mm. So I want to challenge you all that in America, you don't know who is not heard.
That's right.
You have no idea.
I mean, in fact, the reality is the majority of people in the United States, actually, they want to know.
Yeah.
There's this stereotype out there in the United States that people don't want to know the truth, and that we have this stereotype that they're going to be offended. The reality is we have a truth that Scripture says they're all searching for something. And by you sharing the gospel, because you're out putting up signs. Yeah. On a Sunday morning, you have a specialist now in the armed forces for the gospel. And an older lady that has now, like, I've never heard that before. And so I think for me, we've got to get past this label that culture doesn't want to hear the gospel.
Yes.
And in the political sector, they're saying they don't want to hear it. And it's completely the opposite. And I love the fact that you have a marriage that has been radically changed. They were individuals before they became one. And now they're in Japan. And I'll just say this, they're missionaries for the Lord.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
In their own environment, which is why government is that important, because the government can impact families. The government can impact, media because of their voice. And I will tell you this, Bunny Pounds, you do it great. And I would say keep going, keep declaring the gospel, because many lives are changing through the boldness and the courage that the Holy Spirit has given you.
Amen. Well, I am so thankful for James and Kobe. And I know, and you're going to, when you read chapter 3, if you haven't read chapter 3, you're going to discover even how one little member of Congress, Michael Cloud, praying over James, opened the door of his heart for the gospel to go in. So you have no idea the simple things that you're doing that could be making hearts go wide open. So I want to go into the whole Beto story in a little bit, even since I got you here.
Okay.
But let's go. I want to go to Susan first. So we have a couple chapters in here. Number one, chapter 4 is Teach Us to Pray. And I share the story in that chapter of County Judge Richard Sanders. His wife, Kathy, was supposed to be with us tonight, but she couldn't come on. But Judge Sanders, how he had a cancer diagnosis, and we walked him through that. And then in a couple chapters later, we talk about, can God speak to politicians? So I want to share our story together, Susan.
Sure.
Some people have heard it, but some people haven't. I lost my race for Congress. So it was 2018. I lost my runoff. And I get a call from Ron Wright, your awesome husband, saying, Bunny, can you come work for me? I need help raising money.
Boy, did we.
So Ron had won his runoff. He had won his runoff. And he had maybe $20,000 in the bank.
Maybe.
Maybe.
And with my money.
With my
allowance money thrown in there.
And so I started driving to Arlington a couple times a week and sitting there watching him, trying to get him to make phone calls and helping him. And then what happened?
Which part of it? What happened, like our big moment?
Yeah, the big moment.
So Ron was thrilled. He was excited. He was feeling better than he'd felt in a long time physically. And he had gone to the doctor. It's not a shock, probably. He didn't like going to the doctor. And when he got sick, he'd wait until he was just like so sick and it would take forever to get over coughs or colds or whatever. So we talked him into going to the doctor. The doctor said, man, you look great. You sound great. I want a baseline x-ray, because he got bronchitis most winters because he would wait until a sinus infection became dramatic, right? And then it would take forever. So he said, you're going to be back and forth. You're going to be on airplanes. So through that, we found that he had lung cancer.
Yep.
No symptoms. Again, felt great. Blood work was great. Every single test they ran was great. So we start this journey, and I'll never forget when he came home, and I was getting ready for who knows what. You know how that goes when you're campaigning. You've got 1,000 things on your calendar. And I was literally sitting in the bathroom at my vanity, hair or something, and he comes and he kneels down beside me. And I thought, oh, dear. Something's changing in the schedule. That's usually what it was. And he says, honey, we get to test our faith.
Wow.
I said, uh-oh, what does this mean? And so he shares this story. And I mean, both of us instantly started praying, because we knew that whatever was coming, we couldn't do it without God.
Yeah.
And we were going to have a lot of strength. And so, That's how that day started.
So, and then I was taking y'all out for dinner for some reason, and Ron says, okay, Bunny, you're going to be one of the few people on the planet that knows that I've got lung cancer, and somehow we got to get me through this general election.
Yeah.
And it's too late for me to get off the ballot.
Yeah, because I'd already looked into that. The first thing he said was, because I was an officer in the party, he says, you got to get me off this ballot because we got to get somebody else on the ballot. I said, sure, no problem. So I'm looking it up and said, well, good news is, I know exactly how that's done. The bad news is, we're past the deadlines. You can't do it. So you got to either announce it and just stand down or finish this. And I don't know. He took a few minutes and he walked around, and I'm sure he prayed because he did that all the time. But he came back and he said, well, I guess the fastest way through this is just through it. Let's just run. Mm-hmm. Let's just run. See what God can do. So we ran.
So you have to imagine Ron Wright instantly goes into chemo, right? And so he's going to the doctor. He's got one of those, what is it, like a chemo pack thing?
The ports.
The ports, yeah. And so I'm running him around to donor meetings. We're trying to get him money. He has no money. We're trying to get him through a competitive general election. It's August heat, right? I'll never forget. We had our big kickoff, campaign kickoff, and there's like 100 people in a backyard in Arlington, Texas. And the man's about to faint because he's on chemo and nobody knows. And he's trying to make it through the Texas heat and have this campaign kickoff. And I'm like, God, only you can sustain him. Mm. Only you. Mm. And I know for myself, it was a huge test of my faith too, because, you know, I instantly, this intercession thing hit me for you and Ron. Mm. Like, I felt such a great honor to be one of your trusted people in that moment. And so I literally gravitated to Psalms 103, bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all his benefits, who heals all your diseases, right? Who sustains your youth like the eagles. So I'm praying this five or six verses over Ron every morning, and I would text it to you guys, and it became my mantra, like, God, you're going to sustain this man. He is going to Washington, D.C. This is going to happen. And I'll never forget Ron calling me the night before the election. You know, I'm sure he called everybody, but he called me.
No, he didn't call everybody.
Well, he called me and, you know, said, Bunny, I'm so thankful for you walking with me and Susan during this season. Mm-hmm. Whatever happens tomorrow, we couldn't have made it without you. And I told him, what came out of my heart was, Ron, I think I lost my race for Congress to see you go to Congress.
Yeah.
Like,
I remember that.
That it was such an honor to be able to walk with you and Ron through that season. And I still consider it one of my greatest victories in politics. And he won.
He did win.
He won. And then he went into remission.
Yep.
And I'll never forget the next year he says, I'm about to go tell the news, Bunny. A year later, nobody knew still.
Well, he was excited. He was working on the committees he was on in Congress gave him the avenue to work on some healthcare things. And he was able to be a part of some studies and some groundbreaking cancer treatments and immunotherapy. At the time, they were groundbreaking. They're kind of standard of care right now. But they were still fairly new for his particular stuff. And he got to actually the Republican conference actually let him make a speech about it on the House floor. With one of the regarding one of the bills that they had on pharmaceutical drugs, I think, or something. And he talked about how impactful it had been for him and how this legislation was going to open that up to everybody else. But through that whole thing, he never missed an opportunity to share the gospel and share how God was standing him up and pushing him through. We 100% believe that all of these paths, Bunny, you and I have talked about so many of our crisscross paths. Every single bit of it in the moment was staggering or confusing or whatever the right word was. But then very shortly after, we see how this tapestry is woven, and God did it all. And all of it was through politics, which is not supposed to work, right? But it does. It does. It does. When we do our job as Christians right, which is to walk our faith everywhere we are, and in the United States, we're the last, if not the only country, where we have all the control, even though we don't use it, for our government. If we do those two things right, we will have a righteous nation.
Yeah.
And the people will exalt again. So he was thrilled to be a part of all of that. And we're both thrilled to have you with us on that journey. We couldn't have done it without God, and we couldn't have done it without you. And we're convinced that you were there with us for that.
Yeah. Well, Ron runs for reelection, and then COVID happens. Mm-hmm. And I heard through the grapevine that he was not doing well after his reelection, the second reelection. And then you guys both got COVID.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened?
Well, his problem wasn't so much the cancer as the side effects from some of the steroids to combat some of the side effects of the treatment. And right on the heels of that, we both get COVID. I actually was much sicker than him. We raced to the hospital. He was convinced I was going to die. And I'm not sure I wasn't. I was pretty sick. And he really didn't have very many symptoms, but because of his medical history, he got admitted so they could do a lot more monitoring with him. And then eventually he began developing some side effects and some problems, and he just, he rallied and he did pretty well for a few days, well, for a while. And then he just took a dramatic turn and then he just went home, you know, he went home.
And so Ron Wright was the first member of Congress to pass away from COVID. And then I want to continue the story that's not in the book. You got a call from my former opponent for Congress, Lance Gooden. Mm-hmm. This is how it's all crazy connected.
It's crazy connected.
And Lance convinces you that it, and other people called you.
Plenty of, yeah.
Other several. People besides him convinced you that you should run for Ron's seat.
Yeah.
What in the world were you thinking in that moment? Because here you are, just lost your husband, questions. And I'm going to run for Congress. I want you guys to hear these stories because these are real people doing these crazy supernatural things that don't make sense, but we go out there to do it to impact the country.
Well, it doesn't make sense. I can tell you that the last thing that I wanted to do in terms of a personal want was to run for Congress, but there was a lot of godly people that called me from all over the country that really didn't have anything to gain by me running other than they felt very compelled to share with me that they felt like I needed to run for this seat. And I mean, there was a whole lot of basic stuff, you know, like I knew the district. Ron and I really were a team. We said that a lot of times. And people say that a lot, but we really were a team. So I knew the district. I knew the issues. I knew who Congress worked. I knew the players. I knew all of the mechanics. And because it was going to be a special election, because it had been, there was so much turmoil in those, the first few months of 2021, that I was the logical choice for that. So, I mean, I struggled with that. I'm not sure. I won't say I've never prayed that much, but I've never cried out to God in agony like I did then, because the grief side of me didn't want to do that, because I wanted to crawl up in a hole. Our whole life, just about, while we were married, was very public. I wanted a little piece of it to be private, but God has his own plan. And so I ended up running, got into a runoff.
18 people.
23 people 20, in that one.
23 people in a jungled primary, yep. If you can imagine.
Yeah, every party. Anybody who wanted to run, it was a general sign-up, you know, like T-ball.
Yeah, yeah. T-ball sign-up for Congress.
Like T-ball. Everybody come on in. And so we ran, and, I think I've told you before, the first few weeks were a blur. I'm not sure how I got up and moved and did, but I did. And then, I love the people. I love talking about issues. I love talking about, you know, solutions. Politics really at its core is a people business.
Yeah.
And so is God. So to me, there's a lot of places where they intersect. So anyway, that's what we did. Like Bunny, I got to a runoff. Like Bunny, I lost a close runoff. And like Bunny, my former opponent is now a friend, and we get along famously. But
we have them on speed dial to make sure that they do what they're supposed to do.
That's right. Text them all the time. And there was 1,000 God stories that I can recall, and probably 10,000 more that I can't. But every one of those days, and much of every moment of the day during that run, consisted of prayer. And stand me up, and God, show me what you want to do. But I've started that. I guess that's probably the most intense period of when I'd start every day with, okay, God, what's today? What's today going to be?
Well, and I share that in my story too. You haven't lived until you've lived way past what you can do in the natural.
Yeah.
And it was hard enough for me to run for Congress, Susan, without having my husband just die.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't even imagine that journey that you took in those few months. And I just want to honor you for being willing to say yes.
Oh, thanks.
And going for it, because she was a great candidate, by the way. She would have been a great member of Congress.
Lots of people signed up for T-ball.
Lots of people signed up for T-ball. That's right.
And it was down to you and another person. I love it. I love it.
She was awesome. But I want you guys to see in this book that these people that are serving in Congress, these people that are running, even as we saw Super Tuesday last night, and all these people winning, losing. I mean, we had the most turnover in Texas that we've ever seen.
In modern history, anyway, in our memories.
Yeah, I think 14 incumbents lost their seats in the state House or state Senate, and 8 of them turned into runoffs. So, I mean, the biggest shakeup in Texas politics ever. But these are real families, real people running that are challengers or incumbents, or, you know, they're fighting for what they believe in. And so I want to encourage you, number one, we always try to encourage you with Christians Engage, adopt a candidate, get in somebody's life, one person's life, that you can make a difference. Pray over them, pray over their family, volunteer, help them. I tell the story from my campaign, Susan, you've heard it many times, about Amanda Goodman, who she showed up with her father during my runoff. And he says, Amanda wants to stand out at the polls for you and encourage people to vote for you. Well, the thing about Amanda was she had cerebral palsy. So she was in a wheelchair, and they put a Bunny Pounds for Congress sign on both sides of her wheelchair. And she sat there for like 6 hours and held that sign saying, please vote for Bunny. She will make a great congresswoman. There is no excuse for someone not stepping into the fray and helping somebody. Because ultimately, if someone's running and they feel God doing that as a believer, they're trying to fulfill the call of God on their life. Mm-hmm. Isn't that a worthy thing for someone to help them?
Of course.
Donate to them, help them, volunteer, do something with your brothers and sisters on the front lines of the battle?
Yeah.
Sorry, my pet peeve here. If your brothers and sisters in Christ are out there, guys, do something.
Do something.
There's only 1% of Americans give to campaigns. 1% of Americans. We should be helping our brothers and sisters that are jumping out there on the fray and helping them however we can. Well, thank you so much, Susan.
Absolutely.
I love you.
I love you. It's my honor.
Thank you for coming in at the last minute tonight. Sure. And again, you guys, we're skipping ahead to that chapter, but skip ahead and read the Ron Wright story now that it's fresh on your mind. But if you guys have questions, we'll take questions, Kyle and I, in the chat, and we're going to keep talking. But Kyle, where is the disconnect between people that think, we instantly think, and you know, you've been in full-time ministry, meaning you're an evangelist, that apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers all have to be within this Christian ministry world, and we don't sometimes think about those gifts
elsewhere. Yeah.
And that we should be raising up those gifts elsewhere. Yeah, yeah. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, I can. And first of all, I want to make sure everybody's clear. I am a part of the church. You are a part of the church. We are the church.
Yeah.
And that's the body of Christ. And I say that because what I'm about to say, sometimes it comes across almost critical, but it's not. But in the Western church, we have set up a mindset that unless you're paid, then you probably don't qualify to be in that label of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. And really, it's quite the opposite. The opposite is that God is using those people, it says in Ephesians 4, to equip the saints to do the work of the ministry. But man, there are so many people that are running in the business lane that function as an apostle.
Right.
There are people that function in healthcare that function as a shepherd, as a pastor. And so I think for us, we've got to shake these labels of Western mindset. And I'll just tell you, though, it's not just Western mindset. We travel all over the world, and this is that same place. And when we can begin to shake this label that because you're not a paid person in a nonprofit, 501c3, a church, or some people call them parachurches or these ministries, if we can shake that off, you actually might begin to believe that God wants to use me in the local county government. Or he might want to use me in the school board, you know, in the education sector. And so it really comes down to understanding that God's called each one of us.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, we need to hear that from the pulpits. We need to hear that from the Sunday school classes. We need to hear that in life groups that says it's no longer just about this one pastor of a church. It really is the body of Christ. And when we begin to embrace that, I will tell you, we will begin to see a genuine move of God in our community.
Amen. And I know we've got people even on the chat right now that are on the school board. that have stepped out, and they're out in their community, and you know, they're great Bible teachers, right? I mean,
and we need that.
And we need that. But they're going out into a school board and going, okay, I'm going to stand up for the next generation here, and I'm going to deal with all these issues that the average person doesn't want to dig into. It's difficult. You've got, you know, people on all sides of education issues that you've got to contend with. And it's really, really important. So,
but if the church doesn't integrate itself into that culture and into that community, who will? And then we sit back as a church and say, man, we're getting overrun. Where's the truth? Where's the truth? The truth is that God wants to use us in whatever sector. My kids go to a public high school. I want my kids to be a light on their teams. I want them to be light in their classrooms. And the reality is, it's really hard.
Yeah.
It's really hard, but that should not allow us to shy away from being a voice as an anchor on a major media network. Yeah. Whatever it is, and I think the more and more people see it modeled, though, then it becomes more attractive.
Yeah. How do we hear from God, Kyle? How do people, we talk about this in Christian world, you know, Alyssa Brown, she heard from God to go run for state representative, whatever. But how do we, you talk so good about hearing that still small voice and responding. What does that look like for you when you're just, you know, taking a staff member out to lunch and you respond and just go over to somebody and start sharing the gospel with them?
You know, first of all, let me just make a qualifier. You're going to hear the voice more clearly when you embrace Christ. Because of your faith in Christ, you then have the indwelling Holy Spirit inside of you. And I think that's important to understand. When the indwelling Holy Spirit is inside of us, it says in Romans 8, those that are led by the Spirit are called sons of God. In other words, the Holy Spirit wants to lead us. So how do we hear his voice? You have to have an understanding that the Spirit of God is inside of us to actually guide us. And so remember, Jesus even said, my sheep hear my voice. And so what you have to begin to do, this is going to sound so weird, but it's like when you have kids, Laura and I have four kids. Eventually, they're going to start listening to you, right? But they don't automatically. And after a while, they begin to trust your voice.
Yeah.
They begin to trust the parent's voice. And when you begin to hear, you're like, did I just hear something? Or did I just sense something? And I would just say, how do you do this? You begin to I'm going to actually say the word try. Mm-hmm. You begin to try out what you hear. And if it doesn't contradict the word of God, I would say begin to walk it out. And buddy, you've heard this saying over and over again, but I think these principles apply. Is I believe if you're a follower of Jesus, I really believe the first voice that you hear is the Holy Spirit. I believe that with all my heart. But then that second voice is really us trying to figure out, was that his voice? And the more that you can be aware of this tension inside your spirit, then the third voice is the enemy saying, you never heard that. You never heard his voice. And so by the time you get to that third voice, and I'm not trying to say there's multiple voices, but I am trying to say there's a process of the enemy trying to rob you from quenching the Holy Spirit. And the more that people can begin to try what you hear, you'll become more confident in walking in the Spirit. And when you walk in the Spirit, I actually believe that's when you begin to see the kingdom move.
Well, and you, as you guys read through this book, you're going to see all these stories, like, you know, me like calling up my former opponent and saying, I need to pay off your debt.
That's the Holy Spirit.
It wasn't the devil.
No.
The devil wasn't saying, pay off Lance Gooden's $40,000 in debt.
No.
The devil wasn't saying, hey, go walk with Ron Wright while he's got cancer. You know, the things, I think we underestimate the power of just hearing that still small voice and stepping out in obedience. And so chapter 4, guys, is called Teach Us to Pray, because I want you can't hear God if you don't cut out some of the noise. And so I want to encourage you, those of you who are watching this that are involved in politics and government, there is this fine balance between, we don't want to be an ostrich and stick our head in the sand, right? We want to make sure that we are staying informed with the news. We know what's happening. But you cannot, and I will say this strongly, you cannot have that dribble in your brain constantly and be okay. You have to cut out some of the noise. And for me, I constantly had Fox News on my little TV and C-SPAN. while I was working for the Member of Congress, and then I had talk radio going at the same time so I could keep track of what Rush and different people were saying. The moment I got back from Romania, and I share this in the book, I had a revival in prayer in a Romanian prayer room. And the moment I got back, the Lord said, cut out the noise.
Yeah.
Totally has changed my life because I just signed up for the emails from Fox News. I signed up for the Hill emails.
How am I going to stay informed?
I'm still going to stay informed, right? I don't have to listen to all the talking heads constantly.
That's right.
And what that did was I just put my worship music on. I just started spending time hearing from the Lord, talking to the Lord. And I don't think half of these stories, Kyle, would have been written if I hadn't done that.
And here's the thing, Bunny. What I really value and appreciate about your life is that you really do walk out what you trust from the Holy Spirit. And a lot of people say, well, I don't have that encounter. I would say everybody can. Yeah. Everybody can have this amazing adventure. And they really could have Jesus and fill in the blank. Jesus and family. Jesus and education. Jesus and whatever. If you trust the Spirit of Jesus that's working inside of you. And I will tell you, it's usually not comfortable.
Yeah, it's not comfortable.
No, he's not going to be like, hey, I really want you just to sit there. Now, he could, but the reality is he wants to use you for his glory in that environment. And that's what your book is about.
So let's skip to chapter 9.
Okay, let's go back to the book club.
Let's go back to the book club. Okay. Chapter 9, since you're here and you won't be back again. Chapter 9, I had a dream about Congressman Beto O'Rourke.
Yeah.
And you guys are going to read this if you haven't got to there already. Now, notice that Beto O'Rourke is not from the party that I have typically affiliated with, right? Not from the party I've worked in. And that's the thing about politics is you got to make choices. You got to choose who you're voting for. You got to choose who you're volunteering for. You got to choose who you're giving money to. But at the end of the day, the thing that separates us, Kyle, is we're kingdom people.
Amen.
We're not party politics people.
That's right.
I said that wrong, but you know what I'm saying.
I get it. Jesus worked with everybody.
Jesus worked with everybody.
That's right.
So I had this dream that I was standing in front of Beto O'Rourke, and I was telling him, loves his family, loves his kids. God sees his servant heart towards people, and he wants him to know him more and to know his word more. And I could have instantly said, go away, devil. Yeah. Right. I woke up and
you're like, that can't be from the Lord.
That can't be from the Lord. Right. It was absolutely from the Lord.
Totally.
And so what it did is I woke up from that dream and I thought, God, what are you trying to do in my heart? What are you trying to do? I'm standing in pulpits and I'm saying we need to pray for all of our elected officials, regardless of political parties. Are you trying to deal with
something in my heart?
Some prejudice.
That's right.
In my heart. And I frankly believe he was. And so I'll never forget going down to Laredo, Texas with you guys. You were doing an evangelism ministry down there. And it was the middle of a primary. I mean, I was a consultant. Congressman Cloud was running against four opponents.
It's a very busy season.
It was a very busy season. And I said, I got to go out on the streets and share the gospel. So I'm driving down to Laredo, and then we're hanging out, and you had a divine encounter with a guy at a grocery store.
It was a restaurant.
It was a restaurant.
Yeah, it was the same principle.
Okay.
We were eating food. Okay,
there was food
there. And it was the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Go talk to this guy. Just in the middle of this place, there's a restaurant. Here it is. You go up to this person, and what do you know? The Lord directs me to talk to this person. And then I went and talked to him again. And in that, I got an invitation.
Yep.
I mean, I'm here to share the gospel, right?
Yeah.
But I get an invitation that says, hey, would you like to come and pray for Congressman Beto?
Yeah.
And I was like, what? And he's here in Laredo. And I was like, yes, absolutely. But in that, you want me to keep going here?
Yeah, keep going.
So then in that, I was like, okay, Lord, do you want me to go pray over Congressman Beto? Okay, I'm totally open to that. Obviously, in Texas, this is not a
very polarizing figure.
Yeah, he's a very polarizing figure. And so for me to say to some of my friends, I'm going to go pray, they're like, oh, yeah, go for it, right? But as soon as I got to the evening worship service, I knew in my spirit it was not supposed to be me, 100%. And I knew that you had come, and it was just kind of like God used the practicality of timing and what I was sensing. And here's the deal. When you listen to the Holy Spirit, you're surrendering your flesh.
Mm. Yeah.
You're surrendering your flesh. Somebody gave me an illustration today. It's a little graphic, but I'm just going to use it because it stuck with me so much. When Jesus was getting ready to die and they were scourging his back, and they would put those, you know, that whip in his back, and they would literally rip it out of his back. What would it do? It would rip out part of his flesh. And I, as soon as I heard that, and the image was shared with me, that's what we need to do when we're walking with the Lord on a regular basis. Get rid of our flesh. And it's not good. It's not fun. I would have loved to have prayed with Beto. Why not? That would have been great. But the Lord said, Bunny, you're supposed to go do this.
So when you sat next to me in that parking lot and you said, hey, I met with the county judge today and it was awesome. Yeah. And you're just chit-chatting with me. Did you know already I was the one that was supposed to go pray for Beto, or were you just like starting up a conversation to see? And we've never had this conversation.
No, it became really, really clear. Like, I knew in my spirit it was you. 100%. 100%. But the reality was is that I don't know if I, here it is. I don't know if I was ready to give that up yet, because I was like, well, if I do that, you know, you go through all the mindset. Mm-hmm. But the reality was is like the Lord needed to get the glory. It didn't need to go for me to say, hey, I prayed for this guy. Because sometimes that stuff gets in the way.
Yeah.
In politics, it gets in the way. In business, it gets in the way. But again, when you let that flesh get ripped out of you, then God can move. And I'm telling you, God moved mightily by setting it up for you to go minister alongside Congressman Beto.
And I did not share this story publicly, guys, for like a year and a half, 2 years. Yeah. And the reason is I really wasn't even going to share it publicly. It's one of those things you don't have to like tell people about, because God did something in my life. But frankly, I felt like the longer I sat on it and the more that God was doing in my life related to seeing Beto after the Spirit and not seeing him after a partisan label, the more I felt like this, God gave me this dream and set this whole thing up really as a message to the body of Christ. We have to be different. We have to act differently. Amen. We have to see people differently. And there was only three or four things, Kyle, that I agreed with Beto in that speech. Yeah. But I found three or four things I agreed with him on. And
because you went listening to everything he said. The Lord prompted you to write all that stuff down. And your spirit was even like, I don't even know if I could do this.
Yeah.
And God moved.
God moved. And we started texting after that. And he told me it was one of the most impactful meetings he's ever had. And you can read about it in chapter 9.
Amen.
You have to get to chapter 9, guys, to read that, or skip over and no, go back to Gato and come back. But it, you know, I think my heart for this book, Kyle, as you know, is we need to stop seeing things in our life as these compartmentalized That's life. Right. Jesus has to be everything to us. Jesus has to be all in all. So it shouldn't be like, oh, I'm doing evangelism right now. I'm doing block walking right now.
I'm turning it off, right?
I'm doing discipleship right now. Now I'm teaching in a Sunday school. Right. Now I'm no, this is how we should be living everywhere we go. And so, yes, Christians need to start getting involved in politics and government. But yes, we need to be bringing the gospel and doing discipleship and all of it. And it all can go together. Really, anything that God's called you to do, all of this should go together. Amen. So, Kyle, as we're ending here, and you guys, your comments are rocking me. Thank you so much. I love you so much. Thank y'all for being on, and we'll have the video up, the edited, better version up soon that you can share with people on this. But, Kyle, will you pray over everybody listening to us tonight that we would be the leaders that God's called us to be, and that we can take these simple stories of James and Kobe's life and everything we've seen tonight and see, hopefully it's a model, not that we're perfect or not perfect model, but just, hey, this is not that complicated.
That's right.
This is not that complicated to see people's lives change.
I'd love to pray. And before I do, just very simply, I just want you to be open to what the Spirit of God is going to say to you in this prayer, not because of me, but because I actually really believe that the Spirit is already prompting some of you that are listening to act out something that's totally out of your comfort zone. And so, Father, I just pray right now in the name of Jesus, the name that can radically speak to everybody, the name that can shift an atmosphere, the name that can, I believe, direct us into a new job direction, and the name that I believe can actually walk us into a relationship, the name that can change a town and a city and a state. God, I am asking right now in the name of Jesus, those that are listening to this prayer, that they would begin to believe that Jesus wants to work through their lives. that Jesus wants to actually embrace who they are in a relationship so that he can walk with them, that he can, just as Susan was sharing earlier tonight, that he wants to be with them, even in a period of grief, he wants to be there. And then even though it's uncomfortable, Holy Spirit, I'm going to ask that you would begin to, yes, begin to speak to those that are listening in a way that would impact our own communities, in a way that would impact our classrooms, our schools, our districts. God, I am asking in the name of Jesus, make us uncomfortable.
Yes, God.
Our nation needs to be uncomfortable. And I'm asking, God, that in the uncomfortability, we would look to the truth, to the foundation that can only come through Christ. We know it's not a political party. We know it's not a certain business. We know that it's not a politician. We know that it's through Jesus. But God, you want to use everyday people in these sectors. And so, God, I'm asking that you bless those that are in politics. And I'm asking that you raise up their voice in an uncomfortable way to be a voice for you in this season, because our nation desperately needs it. And so, Jesus, I just pray that we would believe that you can change our lives. Because when we believe you can change our lives, we will believe you can change this nation. One person at a time. So I thank you for my sweet sister, Bunny. I pray that you continue to infuse in her strength and power and endurance that can only come from you. And God, continue to enlarge their voice that will allow people to be drawn closer to you. And we just say thank you. Thank you for the freedom that we have that we can do this in this nation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we haven't announced it publicly yet, but a mutual friend of ours, Kyle, Michelle Bachman, is joining our advisory board.
Praise
so
the Lord.
She will be on the website with you, brother.
you got a good one. Praise the Lord.
We're excited about that. So you guys, so excited. Thank you for having us tonight. Reminder that the book is in paperback. That's the most important thing for my publisher. So buy lots of paperbacks and give them away to people, but also in Kindle and the audiobook About Killed Me to record that. So I hope that you enjoy the audiobook.
Amen.
You've done an audiobook before, right? It's a whole thing. But the audiobook, please share that and let those young people that refuse to read books to listen to the audiobook. That's the only way I'm going to get my children to read it. So anyway, love you guys. Thank you for being with us. Next week, we'll have Rafael Cruz with us and many other guests. So we'll see you back next Wednesday night at 5:30. And again, when this recording comes out, we'll share it through email, and you guys can share it with your friends as well. Okay, we love you guys. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.